but I think that you are by nature a negative person.
Fuck you. No, I'm not.
I think you're by nature a negative person.
Really?
Yeah.
A negative person?
You're surprised that I'm saying that?
Rolling.
I came here on a golden rocket.
You never listen to me.
Leaving on a magic carpet and now.
Divorce sucks.
It's what you do this time.
We don't like each other.
He doesn't like me. I like him.
I'm Serge.
I'm Monica.
We were married for almost 9 years. We're divorced now.
We live four doors down from each other.
We have three kids.
You're not being very nice to me.
This is our story of divorce and life after divorce. Our ex-life.
Our ex-life.
You want a drink? I want a drink, too.
Am I close enough to this?
Can you I think it's always better if we're on the same level.
We're never going to be on the same level. My brain is vastly superior to your brain.
I have one note.
You have a podcast note?
I made a podcast note. I was going to make a lot of notes, and I had made one comment on one note, and it just says, pressure to enjoy life.
Do you feel pressure to enjoy life?
Yes, I think.
That's so you.
Isn't that sad? Or pathetic? I feel like...
Your one note is pressure to enjoy life. You know what it is about you? Is you have... You're a deep thinker and you have a lot of expectations about things or the way things should go. And that creates a pressure for you. To like even just like decorating a Christmas tree or celebrating Christmas, or it's everything with you where I think you want things to be this certain way, which creates this pressure for you for them to go that way, which is sort of along those lines.
I was watching this video this morning. I woke up really early and I start my day with YouTube, which is a really weird.
It's a shitty way to start your day.
I used to watch CNN, but now I'm like, oh, I'll just pick YouTube so that way I can pick and choose whether I want to watch catfishing videos.
Oh my God.
Or, you know, some band that I might be into at the time. But I watched this video. I think it's the School of Life. They make incredible videos. They're worth seeking out. But this one was about like emotional intelligence and what it means to be emotionally intelligent. And I was trying to squeeze myself into the narrative to say like, oh yeah, that's me. And sometimes I think it's a trick. These kinds of things are aimed at making everyone say, oh, I see myself in that. I'm emotionally right. intelligent.
You're not emotionally intelligent, by the way. We just had this conversation about.
See, I got to the end of the video. I'm like, wow, that was almost 6 minutes of me. Like they're talking about
you are
me.
The prototypical emotionally intelligent man. Is that what you came
up with? So what do you think? I'm like a mouth breather? Like I'm a moron? Locker room dude?
No. The word I have often used to you to describe you is thick.
I'm turning down the mic here.
Okay. I feel like you're thick sometimes about... Maybe that's just not women intelligent. You're not... When I try to explain to you my emotional responses to things, you just look at me blankly like you're nuts. Anyway.
Maybe. I don't know. All I know is my birthday's coming up next week.
You will be 46.
46
what?
Years old. I know. That means I'm halfway to 92 years old, right?
I guess. Have you been thinking that?
Every time I have a birthday, yeah, I'm like, I'm halfway to this, 92. I'm halfway to that. Like, and probably I'm not going to live to be 92 years old. So that means I'm more than halfway done. And
so that is why you wrote Pressure to Enjoy Life.
Yeah.
Because you feel pressure.
Because trying to deal with, and like our topic today that you and I had discussed was we wanted to talk about life in our 40s, because that's where we both are. Right. And it could, I guess, expand to anybody, whether it's life in your 50s, life in your 30s. When you look at yourself and you take a good hard look, and if you're able to, if you're emotionally intelligent enough to step outside of yourself and see yourself and where you're at in at any given juncture in your life, how do you feel? Are you happy? Is anyone necessarily happy or content? Or do you see more of what you thought you were supposed to be or should be? Do you feel more the weight of what you wish was as opposed to who you are and what is?
Are you asking me? Would you like an answer?
Yeah.
I think about this a lot. And I actually feel really good, which is weird, like this sad, emotionally nuts, divorced mom of three children. But I feel like I'm in a really good place in that regard. And I was wondering, I was trying to pinpoint why. And I think it's because of a couple factors. I used to judge success by specific stereotypical benchmarks, like what was my job or what did my house look like or stupid stuff like that. Not mostly materialistic or life circumstances that everyone, that society tells you you need to aspire to, which is like a happy relationship, a job where you're important or you have a lot of respect or something like that. And I got to be honest, where I don't give a fuck about any of that stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I consider successful. What I consider successful and where I want to be is all internal stuff. Like, am I conquering my personality demons? Am I learning to manage myself better? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I feel like, not that I'm like super awesome at those things, but I feel like I'm really dialed in on who I am and who I want to be, and I'm trying to be that person. And that's what feels successful to me, not a job or a car or even being in a happy relationship. It's just more like, who am I way down deep? And do I understand that? And am I dealing with life in ways that I feel are positive and right?
Out of school, I took a JLB.
How was your day, chicken?
Good.
Did you have a nice time with Grammy and Pop-Pop?
No, he hates Pop-Pop. I hate you, he says.
And Pop-Pop took my flashlight.
Pop-Pop bought him a flashlight. And then when he said he hated him, he took it back.
I took it back.
Good. We don't tell people we hate them. That's not nice.
But that I was crying.
What?
How old are you? You're
73.
74 in a month.
Yeah. So, no, February. Jesus Christ, give me a break, will you?
A month and a... Yeah, 2 months.
There's good... I have good days where I have a lot of energy, and there's other days where I don't feel like doing shit. And then in your mind, you think you can do more than you can think you can do more than you can do. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Like climbing a mountain. I want to go up there so bad, and I do, but I can only go so far. So it's kind of you get a little discouraged. That's all. But do I feel 73? No. And I don't take any prescriptions, none whatsoever, and I won't. That's it. I take an aspirin. Marion knows that. One Bayer aspirin one day, my vitamins the next. Dr. Rosie gave me a prescription for cholesterol. I threw that in the trash. Last time I had it checked, he said, oh, your cholesterol is pretty good. All this shit they see on TV, you see it. Christ, it's not one or two things. It can cause 50 things. I'm thinking, who wants to put that shit in their body?
And life goes faster, you said.
What?
Life.
Oh, well, I think of things that happened. Get out of there. I think of things that happened even 25, 30 years ago. It just seems like the other day. Certain things I think of and I say, Jesus, I wish I was back there again. But I'm not. So what the hell are you going to do?
I guess it all ties into... how you look at your life and say, am I doing it right? Am I doing enough? Am I doing what I wanted to do? You know? And I feel like I often look at myself in the fucking mirror in the morning and I don't feel that way. Like I see a big puffy face, carved out, unibrowed loser.
But everything you just listed was a physical attribute.
Well, I'm just talking about looking in the mirror. But then when I look in
but if you were looking in the mirror, that's the thing. Why did you go to that of appearance? Why didn't you say, when I look in the mirror, I see a person who is happy to
be alive?
Well,
it's because I'm looking in the mirror in the kids' room.
It's interesting that you went to that, though. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're a person, and we've talked about this a lot, where you're a person who's done a lot of stuff and seen a lot of things that your average person hasn't experienced. You've traveled the world. You've stood on stages.
Not the world, but I've traveled.
Okay,
Europe.
Croatia and you've traveled the world.
I've traveled a lot more than I ever dreamed I would.
Right. You've traveled more than most people, dude. And so you've stood on stages and thousands of people have cheered for you, and you've hung out with people that you greatly admire that are well-respected in the art world.
Right.
Those are all really cool things, and so you have to decide what you weigh as successful.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And it's all about your perspective, and when you're looking in the mirror going, I have bags under my eyes, that sucks, that's just bullshit.
Right. So and that's super, super, like, poignant what you just said, because as I was thinking about this over the last few days, prepping for this episode.
Prepping for the episode by writing Pressure by to Enjoy writing, Life. Yeah.
But seriously, I did a lot of, I guess soul searching or whatever it might be. And what I did come away with is that I feel as if I know what's important in life, and I do give it great gravity, that I do give it credence, and I do actually pay attention, that I'm emotionally intelligent. Again, I'm going to just keep rolling that out enough to know that I have three beautiful kids, that I have a place to live, that I'm able to get by, even if it's just barely, those kinds of things, that my life is nowhere nearly as damaged or struggling as many people. And yet at the same time, I end up on the other side of things probably more often than not, definitely more than I'd like to.
Why?
I don't know why. I don't know why. Is it a DNA thing? Like, is it because I worry, I'm anxiety?
Yes. I think that you're not going to like my answer, but I think that you are by nature a negative person.
Fuck you. No, I'm not.
I think you're by nature a negative person.
Really?
Yeah.
A negative person?
You're surprised that I'm saying that? I think that...
That's illuminating.
It's not illuminating. Like, you...
No, it is for me, because I'm not going to sit here and say I'm not, but
You are an anxious, negative person who imagines the worst case scenarios. Like, if the kids are playing in the backyard, you're like, Charlie, you're going to fall, and you will find the weirdest thing that could possibly happen, and you say that.
You learn because...
I know.
You used to go into panic mode over things and catastrophize. I did that a lot. Like, what's the worst that can happen? Oh, my gosh. Now I'm like, okay, that's a real remote possibility. This is more than likely, and don't worry until you get there.
All right, buddy,
but it took years for that.
Serge inherited a lot of that from you. I see a lot of... who you say you used to be and who Serge is.
Like, and he's working on it.
Yes, he is.
And I got it from my mother. Relax, because it'll work out. Everything works out.
Yeah, you figure it out.
And at the time you don't think, but this time next year...
You spend a lot of energy worrying when it's just a waste.
Yes,
because it will work out anyway.
Exactly.
Oh, buddy.
Because it's what you tell your brain. Tell your brain, oh my gosh, oh my God, this is really, really bad. Oh, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Or if you tell your brain, calm down, let's see what happens. Let's be sensible. Let's figure it out. I feel much calmer in my life now.
Did you have to work at that?
Yes, very definitely, and he helped me. I was a very anxious person, and then I met George, and I would say things all the time like, call me when you get there. And he'd be like, no news is good news. You don't hear anything, nothing happened. And over the years, he's been
the stable person that made me become much more calmer.
Okay, somewhere. But when you describe a person as anxious and negative, I mean, that's like a Woody Allen character. That really
you're,
is.
You are like a Woody Allen character.
Maybe sometimes. I'm not all the time like that, am I?
There's a lot of...
Do I look anxious right now?
I think that you're an anxious character who... You're like the worst possible combination of all. You are a highly sensitive, emotional, artistic person who is anxious and negative. And if you put all those things together...
See, what you're saying is I'm Andy Warhol. Nice.
I'm just saying that it doesn't surprise me that you would have a tendency to focus on the negative. And I wondered if there was a specific reason. Like, is there some sort of benchmark where if you made X amount of money, you'd feel successful? Like, what can you put your finger on the thing?
Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know. And life...
Here's what I would challenge to you. And I know I interrupted you, but... I think right now, if I could ask you a benchmark, you'd say a lot of the thing that you worry about is money, mm-hmm. and being able to afford things and that kind of thing. And I submit to you that if I took that away from you, if I solved your money problems, mm-hmm. it would be something else for you.
I'm not going to dispute that at all. You know, it sucks. I mean, and at the same time, I don't think I'm alone.
It's very average to feel that way. But it circles back to what I was saying earlier, which is the challenge is the benchmark is the benchmark for success. And what I deem successful as I age and am I where I should be or not is it's all that internal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Am I negative? What is my perspective? How do I conduct myself when I'm driving alone in my car and what I'm thinking or when I'm out in the world? And I fall short of a lot of things, but at least I'm on the train of I don't give a shit how much money I make. I don't care if I have marble countertops. I want to conquer myself and my perspective and my thoughts and how I relate to the world, if that makes sense. And so...
It does, yeah. I mean, I would go so far as to say, like, you know, here in the middle of my 40s or on the downslope from the peak of it, I find myself... And you use the word success a lot. I don't think I'm concerned with success. Maybe you're just using it in a different way than I think of it. But I'm more concerned with contentment. You know, not even happiness. I don't believe...
Contentment is success. I'm using success in a subjective way where success is different for every person. And are you where you thought you would be? And if not, why aren't you? What is success for you at this juncture?
Do you feel like you're content in life? In this world? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, content. Content is...
Not happiness.
No.
Don't be fooled.
Content to me is happy. I think people mistake happy for this elusive
right.
goal of whatever.
Okay, so...
Content is happy.
So, like, not top shelf happiness, but just, like, mid-range or low level.
Top shelf happiness is these very fleeting moments. Like, one time you wrote a thing about fishing with Henry. And it just... You talk about how it slapped you in the face. That you're there on a bank with your boy and he kissed a fish. And mm-hmm. That's what happiness is. Those fleeting moments where you have that boom realization and then it goes away. Contentment is the next best thing and what everyone should aspire to.
Do you feel like you're there?
Do I feel content? No, because...
Are we supposed to be content in this world, do you think?
Content is a state of mind and it's all in your perspective. And I have these fleeting moments of contentment. Even now when I've been really miserable, I've been in a bad place for a while, as you know. But I also have these moments where I can see through it very clearly and go, holy shit, I am content.
Right.
I survived a divorce and I'm working with my ex-husband to raise our kids in this really cool way. And I just put it all together and I am content. And I drive in my car and I look at, it sounds stupid.
No, it doesn't.
But I look
I'm
at the sky
totally relating to that,
and
yeah.
I read cool books.
Right.
And I
right.
have my little moments where I might smoke a joint and watch some cool stuff on TV or
easy
read a cool
tiger.
Book.
I'm like,
I'm like, this is where it's at. This is what it is. And it's not pressure to, you shouldn't have pressure to enjoy life. You just need to understand that the nature of life and how it works. And there are a lot of awful moments. But the awful moments are key in understanding the content moments.
Right.
And they help you along the path of realization and appreciation of what you have.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, man. Bada boom, bada bing. Right there. No, seriously, that is exactly what I'm like believing too. And I'm right there with you. Again, same thing, like driving down the road, sun setting down over the graveyard on the edge of town. The most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life, right? Like, and you have these moments where you see, and now in my 40s, I'm starting to think that, okay, maybe that's what life truly is. Is this?
That's what it's all about.
Is this? Like, maybe life is like, yeah, it really fucking sucks, but look at the sun setting; it's great. And as cliche and stupid as that sounds, maybe that's really what it is, you know. And you
it
can
is
get
that.
Lost in all these other things.
All the other stuff is distraction and society leading you astray, and consumerism and keeping up with stuff. And I should have this, and I should be here. But all of that stuff is just weird, socially constructed shit that society made up at some point. Like, you're supposed to get married, and if you're not married, you're not successful. You're supposed to own a really nice car. If you don't own a car, you're not successful. It's all bullshit.
Right.
It's all about that inner, conquering your inner self and making these realizations that we are making that I don't think it takes most people until their 40s to realize.
You have to be happy with yourself.
Right.
That's me. You have to be happy with yourself. Then what do you enjoy? And, you know, that's it. You know, what do you enjoy? And you're happy with yourself, you know. I've always been happy with myself. I'm not happy with her all the time. But I'm, no. But, no, you got to be happy with yourself. You know, enjoy life. Notions, magic potions,
pissing the oceans. I'm much more satisfied with where I am in my life. I've had a happy life. I love my husband. I'm surrounded with beloved grandchildren and family, and I live in a beautiful area. So, yeah, there's things that I could have a whole lot more, but I think I have everything that I need. And that's a good thing, too, is to be satisfied with what you have and look at that and be satisfied, because people always want more and want more and want more, and then you drop dead. And if you're lonely and you feel so far from home, I know where the sun shines at night and we're dancing in.
I want to get Dad an ice cream cake.
You want to get Dad an ice cream cake?
Yeah. I better be quiet so I can find my dog's name.
But you don't have any nice message for Dad, like happy birthday, thanks for being a good dad?
I do. What's
your birthday message?
Jojo. Give Dad a hug.
That's your birthday message, is a hug?
I wish I wasn't in this car. I wish I was still at Grandma's.
Why? So you can play your video game?
No, because I can't record my dog's name. Because he keeps sticking his name. It's like, Mom.
So sorry, life and Dad's birthday are getting in the
Jojo.
Way of your video game.
Do you feel like when you were in your 30s and your 20s?
No way.
So you weren't content? Like you were.
No, because that's when you're. It takes a rare individual, I think, to understand all this stuff at that age. It takes. This is why aging is so fucking beautiful. Is it takes life experiences to get to this place where we understand it. And you don't have that in your back pocket at 20 or 30. You haven't gone through that. Maybe some people have, but not really. When you're in your 20s and 30s, you're still kind of following the narrative that was impressed upon you by your parents or your community. And it takes a while sometimes you have to dig out of a weird mindset that your community impressed upon you or the way your parents raised and realize, oh shit, college wasn't for me and college didn't make me successful, but that's what I was told my entire life. It takes all of that to get to this place where we are now, which is why you see a lot of people in their 40s and 50s going, oh man, it's great.
Right.
This is because you're realizing the true nature of living life.
You remember that Bill Hicks bit where he talks about his dad is a goober, and he used to like mow his lawn in his dad's socks, and is brilliant. And I think that's probably the pinnacle of all of this, is when you finally are just like, I don't even give a damn.
I don't give a shit. Because you know what's what. And that's the beauty. That's it right there. And actually, Bill Hicks, how old was he when he died? He is one younger person that really got it. He really did get it. Go listen to Bill Hicks now.
So now that my birthday is coming, I guess the only other thing I wanted to say is that did you know that I have an Amazon wish list? It's public.
I actually subscribe to your Amazon wish list.
You can subscribe to it?
Yeah. And so I got a notification a week ago that said, Search has been adding presents to his wish list.
It tells you that?
Yes.
Oh, that's lame.
That's why I have a wish list if I can't subscribe to it. Then all the people in your world, dude,
So do you judge me by how often I add
things? No, but I hipped your mom to your wish list. I sent her a link. Who's working for you, brother? Me.
But here's the thing. Like, I'm 46 years old now almost, right?
And you have on your wish list. I should tell some of the things on your wish list.
Well, go ahead.
No, it's all very...
It's boring and stupid.
Yeah, it's all very boring. It's like
the problem that I have with it is like socks. I actually feel this massive amount of guilt for having a wish list. Like, you know, I'm just getting by in life, and Christmas is coming. I got to get my kids stuff, and I'm worried about that.
No, this is what is
so
lovely.
Here I am, like, and yet I can't help it. I'm like, fucking
no.
Wish
here's
list.
What I said. I said a lot of negative stuff about you, and so now I'm going to redeem it. And here is what is lovely about you is you are very childlike, and I mean that.
Oh my god. Okay, so I'm like a childlike Woody Allen.
I mean that in a really nice way, and that is why your expectations of things are so high, because you're still like that little kid that's like, oh my God, I can't wait to open my presents on Christmas. I have never met anyone who loves to give gifts and receive gifts. You just get so excited about really simple things that kids generally dig, you know, like presents. And
I'm not that into presents anymore. Now that I have 3 kids, I hate presents.
Nobody.
I was into it when it was just me, but it's tougher
now. Now that you have to buy all the other people's presents.
Yeah, so now it's just like the luster has worn away. But I don't know. I think, I don't know, here in our 40s, and like, and you're younger than me, but like I'm at this point now where I really am starting to feel like I want to be okay with myself. I want to be all right. And I don't go through every single day bashing my face against the wall. But even as a younger guy, I was that way. You know, I feel like I was pretty hard on myself.
You have changed immeasurably since I met you. And I see you working really hard to be a good person. And you should feel proud of that. But you do realize it's all in your perspective, where you are a good dude. And if you look at yourself in the right way, yes, you have your faults and I yell them at you when we're in fights and whatever, but everybody has those. Overall, you're a really good dude that is doing a lot of good things and is a great dad and a great son and a good brother. And you have low moments, but it's all in your perspective of I am good. I am content. I am successful. You know what I mean? You have it all. It's just all about perspective.
All right. Well, tit for tat. I think that you're a great mom. And for 40, I mean, you still look reasonably good.
Speaking of tit for tat.
No, I think
I got great tits.
I think that...
no, don't. 40, you can't reciprocate right now. You can't. It doesn't work. It's not natural.
Good, because I can't
it's
come
not
up
organic.
With anything. I can't come up with anything. Do you have a wish list?
No. Actually, I do. I went to see if I did, and it's all full of books I want to pass on to my kids, like Beverly Cleary and Wrinkle in Time. And
that's beautiful.
I wanted to start a little kids' library, but that's it. I haven't bought anything. Anyway, well, I just want to tell you.
What would be your advice to somebody, you know, somebody in their 20s or 30s that doesn't know what their 40s is going to be like? What would you say? How would you describe it to them?
It's beautiful. Keep thinking hard. It's all about thinking. It's not about acquiring things. It's not about leveling up at some fucking corporation. It's about thinking and understanding what life is really about. And what life is really about is relationships, being a compassionate, kind person. That's kind of it. That's all it is.
What's that quote? Mowing your lawn in your dad's socks.
Exactly. And not giving a fuck. And that's where it's at. And
so
it's going to occur naturally. If you're a deep thinking, thoughtful person, it will occur to you.
So maybe our 50s is going to be awesome. Like maybe it's going to really be like a letting go, a beautiful letting go.
That's what I hear. And I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
Happy birthday.
Thanks. Squirrels in the park, late Sunday evening, dodging the raindrops. My heart is a barrel on fire that blows burning ashes at a telephone wire. My heart is the avenue wind, rattling street signs with a delicate din. What did I do? Cause you to leave me. Girl, if you just knew what I'm going through, I lost my pride, my head.
What was he like growing up? Like his personality?
He was a wonderful big brother to his little brother. He was a happy child. I know he went through tremendous pain, which I don't think I'll ever understand, when his dad wasn't around, because he admired, like all little boys do, their dad. And he didn't have that. I took them everywhere and anything I could do when they were little and spent all my time with them. Look, it's making me cry. Aww. Yeah, it was wonderful.
He's very good at writing and stuff. He's a very good writer. People have told me that. I can't write worth a shit, okay? I can't spell worth a shit, but I did all right in my life, you know what I mean? I worked hard and I got... So, yeah, I'm proud of him. Yeah, he's got a lot on his plate. Got three kids. I'm watching this one out here. He's got three kids.
Crazy ex-wife.
Oh, you ain't shitting. He's got a crazy ex-wife. To the traffic, the tug of the music, the scene of the crime. My heart is a crowd that keeps cheering. They twangs by the river, they points and we score. My heart is this wondrous city with its love and its life and its warm slamming door.
It's a rainy Tuesday morning as I write this. It's December the 5th, 2017, a week away from my 46th birthday. I share a birthday with Frank Sinatra, whose music I love. I've always liked that. Everyone shares a birthday with people more famous than them. I don't know what the significance of that is, really. None, I guess. I have little in common with Sinatra. He was blue-eyed and wildly handsome, with a voice that tasted like bourbon on a young lady's lips, on a train, in the evening, after a big steak dinner in the dining car. Christ, why do I do that to myself? My eyes are hazel. Hazel? What is that? It's like even my DNA couldn't give a rat's ass about me. Old blue eyes sound soulful and charming. Old hazel eyes? That sounds stupid. It is stupid. My eyes are stupid. I might pop them out with a spoon and swallow them at some point. Walk around with two pink sockets that look like a couple of inside-out baby mice stapled to my face. You know, the way I see it, the problem with all of this aging is that so many of us, we live inside our own disappointment. We wallow in our own failures and utterly refuse to acknowledge what makes us unique, cool, different, or worthwhile. I look in the mirror this morning, a few days from 46, and I want to shatter the glass with my fist. I hate my face and my body. I hate the fact that I'm always stressed out about money. How am I going to pay the car payment and buy gifts for the kids? It's Christmas. How am I going to do that? The list of my failures in my own eyes is a 7-foot scroll. And I know that that's wrong, that that's the wrong way to go about looking at things, but it's hard to change when you're this far along the road. Chances are I'm more than halfway through my life. And yeah, lots of people will tell me, oh, hey, man, you've got beautiful kids, and you play in a band that plenty of people like, plus you get the right stuff for money sometimes, and you aren't dying of cancer, and blah, 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 wah, 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 wah. They're not wrong either, but for whatever reason, I don't know. The good stuff lifts me up for a few scattered hours a week, maybe, and the bad stuff haunts me the rest of the time. It's no way to live. If I had one wish for myself, it would be to just feel okay. To wake up in the morning, come down the stairs, hit the Mr. Coffee, nuke the oatmeal, cut up the grapefruit, and spin around to a kitchen, to a whole wide world where I feel safe, secure, comfortable with who I am, with where I'm at. Frank Sinatra was Italian-American from Jersey. That's sexy. I mean, it just is. It means you don't take any shit off anyone, and you love your mama, and you probably know how to slice garlic real thin and simmer it in olive oil on a Sunday morning, looking ruggedly regal in your white wife beater. That's what you call it, too, a wife beater, and people love it. If I called my shirt a wife beater, somebody's wife would probably tear me a new one on Facebook. And I deserve it, too, I guess. I'm Ukrainian, Polish, French. I have bags under my lame hazel eyes that never go away. I appear to be exhausted at all times, which, luckily for me, I am, so that works out. I cook garlic in olive oil, and nothing comes of it. It burns half the time, or else it makes a ton of smoke because my landlord never installed an exhaust fan over my stove. So even if I boil a goddamn egg, the whole house fills up with a dense and horrid haze. It seems so easy when you write about it or talk about it. It seems like it's all just a case of flipping a switch, shifting the outlook. Look at what you've got. Concentrate on that. I don't know, though. My mind is a colossal asshole. Even so, I fight back, believe me. I keep trying to cross that river. The other side is paradise from where I stand, and I'm never going to stop trying to get over there. Over there, a person can lean in to plant a foggy kiss on their broke-ass jiggly rolls of constant averageness in the full length. Happiness is the lay of the land. I can see it taunting me, taunting me, taunting me under a bluebird sky. Maybe getting there takes pills. Or discipline. I don't know. Nobody knows what the bridge to happiness is built of. No one even knows where the fuck it is. Confidence is one thing, but loving yourself is another. Heartbreak, hollering, impetuous waves of disappointment and drama. My hazel eyes have lost some shine down the years, same as everyone else. Look, I still laugh a lot, though, and I still plod through novels and fall in love with other people's words. I still anticipate Christmas Eve, same as I did when I was a kid. Why? I have no idea. I just do. I think about it all year round. And it's never as magic as I imagine it will be, but still, I daydream of Christmas Eve on sad summer days, and it helps me. I still hold my kids tight to my chest and chin in the night. I still pull each of their sleeping bodies in close, breathe their hair. I smell their days then, their pine-sawed elementary hallways and their cafeteria PB&Js. And some nights I still pick up my electric guitar and plug it in and turn it up too loud. Then I smile into the eyes of certain people who come up to me after the show and tell me that they can't hear anything. I know, I tell myself, but good. Maybe I was the last thing you'll ever hear. Why not? I made a racket. Remember me. Frank Sinatra sharing my birthday used to make me mysteriously happy, but ever since the second paragraph of this thing, I'm realizing that I was lying to myself. He wouldn't have probably even liked me. He wouldn't have been able to see me. Big famous blue peepers can't even focus on a man like myself. They'd see right through me. If I was sitting in a decent white armchair from IKEA right in front of a living Sinatra, he would have seen the chair but not me. I would have been invisible to him. I'm not trying to be humble or anything. Fuck that, I'm not humble. I'm pissed. I share a birthday with a voice I love, and it's dragging me down this morning. But the music, right? Oh, that music. When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. Easier said than done, Frank. But I get what you're saying, sir. It took me a while, but I get what you're saying.
Float away down the whispering way, somewhere as far as it seems, boy.
My little boy has grown up to be such a marvelous, incredible person. I'm very, very proud of who he is. My heart has broken for him sometimes, but I'm very proud of what he has become. And the dad he is amazing. For three little children to be the dad he is, and I wish he would give himself more credit because he beats himself up. He's where I was when I was that age, and he needs to recognize, love himself, and recognize the wonderful job he's doing, and to continue on his search, his journey, and I hope that he finds true happiness.
On the lonely streets of anyone at all who's drifting from the arms of somebody.
anybody ever love you goodbye. You hope, I hope you have a good birthday turning 46. To the sunniest side
of the street. Hey, how old do you think I am?
Five.
I'm five? How old is Dad? Dad's three? So, what you're saying is, I seem more mature than Dad? Good answer.
To wake up tomorrow, if we wake up tomorrow at all.
Aging is a strange trip, isn't it? You feel the same, but suddenly you're looking at bloated, familiar faces on social media and realizing they belong to your high school friends, and oh my God, do you look as old as they do? Yeah, probably. I turned 40 years old this year, one of those obvious life markers that ignites cliched reflection on who you are and who you want to be, where you thought you'd be in life by now. Turning 40, for me, coincided with coming to terms with divorce and settling into the unfamiliar identity of single mom with three children. It's actually been an amazing journey. I've come to realizations about myself and life that I never would have come close to orbiting if I were still married. Things I've learned in my 40s, a list. The single most empowering yet difficult thing I've learned is that my reaction to everything is completely up to me. Being able to choose how I react to the stuff life throws at me is a goddamn superpower. It's an easy enough concept to grasp. You are in control of your reactions. But think about it. It's an astounding realization. The notion that you are in control of your reaction to everything. And if you control how you react, in essence, you control everything that happens to you. For most of my life, I've behaved like I was a victim of my own reaction to any given situation. My reaction was almost always defensive, angry, overblown, but I just assumed that my natural impulse was what it was, and it never occurred to me to moderate or control it. For some reason, it felt inauthentic to suppress anger or other intense emotions. This is how I feel, and how I feel is how I feel. I allowed myself to wallow in anger and resentment and bad feelings, and I imposed those reactions on others as well. This is me, being real, the real me, and you need to deal with it, and if you can't, you don't really love me. That was my delusional rationale. Analyzing and moderating my reaction saves me hours of easily avoidable drama and hurt feelings. I'm now dealing calmly with situations that would have left me in a sobbing heap on the floor before. Stuff that would have spawned side arguments that digressed into nonsense and ignited even more issues probably would have turned my divorce from the amicable scenario it now is into some War of the Roses stuff with me swinging from chandeliers in a rage. I mean, there's still some War of the Roses stuff, but it happens a lot less. You control the situation, or the situation controls you. Surrounding myself with strong, smart women has been revelatory. I am working hard to ditch the social anxiety that has haunted me throughout life and find women that uplift me and can set me straight when I start to wander down dark paths. Women that see through the bullshit I sometimes try to sell them and myself and call me out when I'm acting a fool. I spent so much of my marriage without awesome women in my life that I am determined to surround myself with amazing broads who know a thing or two about being a badass. It's one of the most empowering things I've done in the wake of divorce. That said, understand that other people are not medicine. I have been attempting to plug the holes in my personality with other people throughout my entire life. I've had a negative monologue about myself running through my head for so long, I don't know what's real and what isn't anymore. But I need to stop seeking others to counterpoint the negativity and do that work myself. Be my own best friend, accept myself, and fix myself if I can. After my divorce, I could feel myself thrashing around uncomfortably in the silence of having no one there. Flailing mindlessly against the fear of wondering if I'll end up old and alone. I am resisting the temptation to fill the fear and the hole with people. Sometimes the voices in my head are angry and loud and mostly negative, like enduring nonstop verbal abuse from someone who hates you. It can be hard to sit alone with them, but I'm learning to hush them or listen to them, and yes, even have conversations with them. Examine loneliness instead of fearing it. My self-worth isn't reliant upon who I'm with. This one is huge. I know, love yourself first is a cliche we've all heard a million times, but I'm here to testify that once you realize you're perfectly fine on your own, that you actually dig being alone, that you are not reliant on anyone else for happiness, your entire world changes. Unfortunately, coupledom is seen as the ultimate goal, and singlehood is an unfortunate situation on the way to finding true love, whatever the fuck that is. People try to fix you up as if trying to cure your aloneness, but it's all bullshit. I know a lot of miserable couples. What's so great about that? Each state of being has its advantages and drawbacks, yet there are billions of frogs hopping desperately from the safety of one relationship lily pad to the next. Screw that. Jump in the water, man. Strike out on your own and kiss as many frogs as you can, with enjoying the ride being the goal, not finding a relationship. If it happens, it happens, but don't conform your personality or worldview to match the social narrative about love and marriage you've been sold from birth. Figure out your relationship based on your circumstances, not some traditional relationship nonsense society tells you is desirable. Take risks, and when things don't turn out how you thought, find the beauty and life lessons in those tougher moments.
I came here on a golden rocket. I'll be leaving on a magic carpet now.
It's taken me decades, but I'm finally making peace with death. I still wake up at 3 a.m. in a panic, stomach churning, throat constricting, horrified by the idea of ceasing to exist. But that notion makes now so much more important. Thing is, when I believed in the Mormon fairy tale of an afterlife I was sold since birth, ruling my own planet forever, surrounded by family and friends, I was living half asleep. Autopilot. I didn't appreciate life like I do now. I feel more alive now than ever. If death is the end, every interaction with another human being takes on special meaning. Not because it scores me some heaven points, but because our interactions with each other are the point of existence. This is it, motherfuckers. Right here, right now. This ain't a drill. This ain't a test you need to pass to get to the better things after life. Who you are now is crucial. And I'm not talking college degrees and jobs and money and status. I'm talking kindness and compassion and empathy and love. All the bullshit you've likely been taught about what makes a successful person that fires your ambition means nothing if it doesn't contribute to kindness, love, and lifting up your fellow human. Or worse, if it compromises kindness, love, and your fellow human. Slowly peel back the social frameworks imposed on you from birth and figure out who you are without all the shit that was forced on you and you passively accept it as true or right. Even just being raised an American is like being raised in a religion. Think beyond. Strip away all the labels that make you you and other people them. When things get really bad in my life, when I feel rage and anger and hopelessness, I look around me and take it all in and my mind is blown every single time. The sky, stars, trees, people, animals, kindness, love. It's magic. I get so choked up by the quiet mystery of the universe, the beautiful humanity, all of us living here together, slowly trying to raise our collective consciousness. In the end, only three things matter: how much you loved, how gently you lived, and how gracefully you let go of things not meant for you. This is heaven, and we are God. Think big thoughts, and enjoy every sandwich, man.
Like my dad said, when mom died, we were at the hospital, he said, George, I just thought we'd go on forever. I said, yeah, that's what you probably think.
Aging, getting older, and accepting it is important because I'm lucky to get there.
Right.
So I have friends that have died already. And yeah. Some people never make it to 21.
Are you afraid to die? Do you
Not
think about
really,
that much?
You know, it's like, I remember my dad saying one time, he said, you know, an old guy told me one time, George, do you remember being born? And my father said, no. He said, you won't remember dying either.
You've been listening to Our Ex Life, our weekly podcast about divorce, co-parenting, marriage, love, life, all that crap. The podcast is produced and edited by Monica Belanco.
Featuring music by Serge's band, Marah. You can find them at marah-usa.com. We also want to hear from you. You can find us at ourxlife.com. You can email us at ourxlife@gmail.com or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under the handle ourxlife.
Thanks for listening.
Happy birthday. I mean, happy birthday.
What do you think
Love
of him?
Love your stepdad.
What do you think of him?
What do you think
of
him?
Oh, he's a good man. I mean, what do you want me to do? Put a crown on him? I don't know. He's a good man. You know? Well, you get down the fiddle and you get down the bow. You kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light. I said, Louisiana Saturday night. Well, sitting in the front yard, sitting on a log. Single shot rifle and a one-eyed dog. Yonder come the kinfolk in the moonlight. Louisiana Saturday night. Well, you get down the fiddle and you get down the bow. You kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor. Dance in the kitchen till the morning light. Louisiana Saturday Saturday night, but when the kinfolk leave and the kids are fed, me and my woman gonna slip off the bed, have a little fun when we turn out the light. Louisiana Saturday night, well, you get down the fiddle and you get down the bow, you kick off your shoes and you throw them on the floor, dance in the kitchen till the morning light. Happy birthday, sirs, and good night.